I discovered within like my body awareness as a yoga teacher, this autoimmune disease that manifested in my body is a tool for me to find that balance of effort and ease. And it's really enhanced like my awareness within myself of how much effort I put out and how much ease that brings back into my body. Mm-hmm. And so like all the choices I make, I'm trying to find that. So it was interesting opening the new business. I'm like, wow, this is a lot of efforting.
Yeah.
But I'm finding those moments where it's very easy and it's kind of settling into its own pattern. But definitely kind of like balancing between making things happen, you know, being like the owner of a business and manifesting that and going forward. And then also not over pushing myself, not over stressing myself.
Hello and welcome to Curious Ones podcast by Andara. I'm Yael Ginsberg, the host of the podcast, a yoga and meditation teacher and philosophy lover. Each week you will hear eye-opening interviews with the different teachers of the Andara Yoga Institute, located in beautiful Baja, Mexico, along with other teachers that pass through here. This life-changing knowledge shared through authentic, heartfelt communication will help you live a happier, more fulfilled, and connected life. Let's dive in. I'm so honored to have my guest today, Amber Young, with me. Amber is a yoga teacher here at Yandara. Her first training she did in 2008 and has been teaching ever since. She's also the owner of the yoga studio La Dicha around here in Pescadero, here in Baja, and is a wonderful, inspiring yoga teacher. So I'm so happy to have you on the show today.
I am happy to be here.
So Amber, would you tell us a little bit about your background and upbringing? Both of your parents have been here on the podcast, Shiva Das and Mercy Ananda, which were both incredible. Both of them are incredible just from knowing them. So that must have been special. And just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. I grew up in Santa Cruz, California. And my mother, Mercy, and my stepdad, Shiva Das.
Yes.
I was living with them for most of my kind of like teen, 20s kind of years in Santa Cruz. And I was raised and born there. And yeah, it was a very interesting household to grow up in. Like, we didn't have, you know, like a TV or like couches in the living room. It was like full of instruments, gongs, guitars, drums, harmoniums, deities. You know, friends would walk into our living room and they'd be like, whoa, like this is very different than anybody's house I walk into.
Wow.
So that was kind of where I came from. My family was very much into bhakti yoga growing up, right? We just chant, like all the chants and the mantras, like I don't ever remember learning them. They just are like in my brain, right? Mm-hmm. I can just sing them because I've heard them. We'd be driving in the car and mom would have mantra playing and chanting in kirtan. So that's kind of where I was introduced to yoga as a child, was more in that setting, not as much of the asana. Mm-hmm. I came into practicing asana more in my 20s as my body was getting stiff and achy from being like, I was very much an athlete. I was into snowboarding and surfing and skateboarding and all those things. And my body started to have a lot of pain. And so that's how I got into asana. That's what brought me to asana. Mm-hmm. But I was in that lifestyle as a child, just like yoga around us, but not so much asana. That was very much later in my life, which is kind of the opposite of what most people are brought into yoga nowadays.
That's true.
Most people come into it for the physical. So that was an interesting, I didn't even realize it as a child. You know, it was just a part of our daily life until I got older. Did I realize that like, oh, okay, that was a little bit different than most people's upbringing.
Yeah. Did you ever feel self-conscious about that?
Yes, yeah. Very much. I was very much like anti my hippie parents, you know. I was just like, why can't you guys be like other people's parents? How come we don't have a couch and a TV in the living room?
Knowing them, I can see that so well.
Yeah.
So how did you kind of get through that? What was that process for you? When did you start loving it?
Probably like I was saying, like in my early 20s, I kind of had like a rebellious stage, you know, like end of my teens. I was like, ate McDonald's for the first time and like, you know, did those kind of things because I was like,
I went crazy.
You know, I mean, it was more just like, I just kind of went out into the world and got a little bit crazy. And then I realized that I really loved all of the things that I was raised learning and experiencing. And when I started to practice asana more within classrooms and things, it was kind of like when I'd hear teachers talking about philosophy apart from just like the physical postures, it would be like remembering as opposed to like hearing it for the first time. I'd be like, oh yeah, I remember mom talking about that, or I remember Shiva Das talking about that. So it was slow, you know, it's probably like 22, 23, 24 is when I started to practice postures, mm-hmm. and got like into like yoga, you know, of what people think of it now.
Yeah. And when did you decide to kind of take a teacher training and really go down that path?
Well, my choices are probably very different again than most other people's choices within that, because it was kind of just unfolded for me. Mm-hmm. I never really made a super conscious choice. So like the first asana class I ever went to was a Bikram yoga class that my roommate took me to.
It was a hard way to start.
Yeah, it was a very strange way to start. It was like coming into this room and everyone's got like their tiny little clothes on.
Yeah.
And at the time I was like 22. I was a little bit chubbier, like, you know, kind of like in that like party phase of your life, like in your 20s. And I was like, oh, you don't know, this is kind of weird. I felt uncomfortable in my body being around people, like in like these small clothing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of stuck with it. I remember I was like, I liked the physical movement. Mm-hmm. And then I started to go to other teachers and more like hatha yoga and like, you know, like flow and that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I was doing that, probably this was like 2004, 2005, 2006, you know, not a super disciplined practice. I would go to like the local fitness center and they had a teacher that I really liked. Mm. I remember she wore all light blue, like for the throat chakra. Mm-hmm. And everything she wore was like that light kind of pale baby blue. And it reminded me a lot of my mom because she wears all white. So right. It was like, oh, the all like the one color, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And so she kind of got me away from the Bikram and like more into the like gentler yoga. I was living in Oregon at the time and mm-hmm. my mom was living in California. And so my mom and my stepdad Shiva Das, my sister and I were living in Oregon, and they go, we're going to go to Baja. This was like about 2007.
Wow.
And they start telling us in 2007, they're like, April and Bola were down in Baja. They're like old family friends that were here at Yandara mm-hmm. with Craig and the whole staff here. And they were like, you guys should come down. You'll really like the area. This was 2007. Come down, just come down. And we were like, okay, like we'll come down. So this is all getting a teacher training, which was in 2008 here at Yandara.
Wow.
So I came to Yandara and my parents started working here kind of as kirtan musicians mm-hmm. first. None of us were teachers or anything. And me and my sister just kind of like, you know, we camped and cruised around and surfed and we were like doing a little bit of yoga on the beach and stuff. And then in 2008, Craig actually offered me a job at Yandara painting flowers in the bathrooms. They're not the current flowers in the bathrooms.
Oh.
This was a long time ago. Yeah.
The bathrooms here are beautiful.
Yeah, they're very beautiful. And so I was doing that and I was kind of, and then he's like, oh, do you want to work in the kitchen? And I'm like, yeah, I'll work in the kitchen. So I had a completely backward route into Yandara than most everybody else.
Wow.
So I was a staff member as like a groundskeeper kitchen staff. which is very rare because most everybody is local Mexicanos that here that does that.
Right.
And so I started working with them in the kitchen and speaking Spanish and like just doing all that with them. And then Craig came up to me. Again, it's Craig. So Craig's the magic maker. Craig makes everything happen. He's a total magic maker. And for everybody, people don't realize it, but he's done so many magical things for pretty much most every single person at Yandara. He's like a manifester of magic.
Wow.
And so he came to me again and he goes, we have space in the training that's coming up in 2 weeks. Do you want to take the training with you and your mom? We did the teacher training together, my mom and I.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We were students together.
Oh, wow.
In the 2008 teacher training. Mm-hmm. And we said, yeah. He said, your mom's going to do it. Do you want to do it with your mom? And I said, yeah, I want to do it with my mom. And so we did it together.
Was that her first training?
That was her first like asana training.
Asana training.
You know, with like most asana based. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like I said, we weren't into asana. Our family was very much bhakti. We just did chanting and meditation and mantra for the most part. And so we started to get into asana in 2008, and then we did the training, my mom and I, and then it kind of just unfolded, and I taught for a while in town, and then again, Craig goes, I want you to teach as a teacher trainer, as an assistant at Yandara. And I was like, okay, and I said no.
Really?
He asked me, and I said no.
And
why? Because I didn't think I was ready. And a month goes by, and then he asked me again.
Wow.
And he goes, we really need you. Do you want to teach? And I said, okay. And my mom goes, you should say yes. So I said yes. And that's how I started at Yandara. And
that's incredible. Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. And I really would love to go into that because I know exactly that feeling. I'll tell you a short story. When I got my first studio class in Tel Aviv, was the day before the first class, I was so nervous that I actually wrote a message to the owner of the studio and I told him, I'm sorry, I can't do the class, like, I'm not ready. And luckily, like Craig was for you, he said to me, listen, Yael, you can do it, you got this, you're coming tomorrow, you're doing this class. And he made me do it. And I was so scared, I was so nervous, and I'm so happy that I had him. Like, so something, it's sometimes it's so important to have this person that kind of like believes in you, that pushes you to do something that you're so scared of doing. So that's incredible. Like, what was that process like for you?
It was, you know, I was thinking I wasn't ready. I was thinking, how am I supposed to help other people be teachers? Like, I've only been teaching, you know, it was like just a little bit under 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. It was almost 2 years. And I was like, well, you know, I just felt unsure. I was already working here as a staff member, but not as a teacher. I worked in the office and in the kitchen as administrator. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I mean, you know, I was here. I was in this role of like an administrator, but I finally just decided to do it. I've been teaching in town and like teaching people, but nothing super, super steady, I guess would be the word. Mm-hmm. And so I felt ready, though. You know, when I stepped into it, I definitely had a learning curve. I remember the first training, I got feedback from some of the students, like they wanted more feedback from me, like encouraging them how to grow. And so I did that, you know. So then the next month I was like, okay, like they want me to teach them. You know, I kind of put myself in there just as like a, I'm watching you, but you don't really want to learn anything from me. And then I realized that they're asking me to give them feedback and teach them something. So,
yeah. How did you feel about being in this position of being a teacher to somebody?
I felt pretty comfortable with it. I'm very much a natural leader. And so I push against being a leader, though, like my whole life, because it's very easy for me to step into a role of like kind of taking charge in a situation and offering insight. But for some reason, I always like kind of resist against those roles because it's been my whole life. I'm always put into these roles. I'm always in some kind of managerial role, some kind of teaching role. You know, I was the oldest daughter of five children. Mm. You know, I have two older brothers, but I was the oldest daughter. And so, like, that's different. My older brothers were a little bit, like, all over. And so, you know, I was the one, like, helping the family. It's, like, kind of, like, I take responsibility very easily. Mm-hmm. It's natural for me.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so much that I was afraid of, like, not being able to do it. It was more just, like, do I want to put myself in that role again of mm-hmm. being a leader? Because sometimes I like to not have to be that one.
Yeah.
So.
Could you explain a little bit?
Well, I don't like feeling bossy and pushy. And so I like to, like, definitely my way of teaching is offering information and insight from what I have experienced through my teaching and just through life. Mm-hmm. And then I let you, the students, choose what works for them. So, like, if you came and did a teacher training with me at Yandara, 200 hour or some of the 300 hours that I work in, I very much, like, present information as, like, this is a way that it can be done. But I never teach anything like this is the way.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's just, I don't know, that's my personality. And so I try to balance that, like, easy ability to step into that role of being a boss leader.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily want to be telling people what to do. Like, that doesn't give me joy. I like people to find it on their own, like have that moment of realization, like, oh, that's what Amber was talking about. Or like, oh, I see that, you know? Mm-hmm.
I love what you said, because that is really the best way to learn, right? We don't learn by somebody telling us this is how it is. We learn by experiencing it ourselves. And actually, I think your mom said that during the training, because she is very, very connected, as you said, to the bhakti side of yoga. And when you talk about bhakti, there is a lot of concepts that are very hard to grasp. And also, you know, as a rational, with a rational mind, you're like, but is that true? Like, these deities, all these, you know, like, there's so much of the philosophy that is, how would I say, very much intuitive and hard to put into words. And what she said, which I loved, was, really, don't take my word for it. When you get the experience yourself, you're gonna decide if you take this for your life or not. Hey, I'm quickly interrupting the episode to extend an invitation. If you are interested in deepening into any of the subjects we talk about on the podcast, we offer many different experiences on our beautiful grounds here in Baja, Mexico. From 9-day modules such as sound healing and yoga nidra to breath and meditation, as well as 200 or 300 hour yoga teacher trainings and many different shorter retreats. Check out our website, yandara.com, to see all the information about the different experiences. Let's get back to the episode. How has that been with this status of being a leader within the yoga studio that you opened? And, you know, this dynamic within yourself.
It's been really interesting for me because here at Yandara, I've worked here for so many years, you know. This is my 14th season.
Wow.
Working for Yandara. And so I feel very confident and, like, empowered in this role here. You know, I, like, walk through the campus and I'm like, I know exactly what's happening. I know who these people are. Everything's just, like, how it's been, and I feel very confident. And so this last year, I opened my own yoga studio for the first time, and it was very scary. It was, like, just very nervous, like, for me, putting myself out there as an individual. I've always kind of worked for other people, you know, come from a big family. And so it felt very, very, like, kind of like peeling off my skin and just standing naked in front of everybody, like, here I am, what do you think?
Wow.
I guess that's the best description. That's literally what it felt like to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, within the community, you know, I'm having these feelings of, like, so there was, like, COVID, right? This whole, the world of COVID right now.
Yeah.
Was very strange with opening my own business in the midst of all of that.
Wow, yeah.
Right. And so I think the uncertainty of just like the whole world right now, really, and what's going to happen as we're moving forward, like, just, you know, because everything's been so different, mm-hmm. that when I opened the business, when I had like the idea, I'm like, I've always wanted to, for my family. And my father passed away in 2019. And that was like right before COVID hit. And so with my inheritance, I decided to build a yoga studio, mm-hmm. and open a small business. But within that, it's like, you know, my father passing away, which is like a big safety net, and then COVID happening right at that same time.
Yeah.
And me deciding to open a indoor yoga studio.
Yeah, wow.
Because what I really like is my family were sound artists, right? So we create these very beautiful, large sound baths. And I wanted to create a space for us to be able to offer that to the public. Because Yandara is a private school and we don't have a lot of interaction with the general public in town,
yeah.
very much. And I've been here for so long and I've had so many people over the years ask where they can come and see our family and be a part of our offerings. And we've never had a place. Mm-hmm. And so I finally decided to create that place. And so that we can do kirtan nights and do these sound baths, which is like the joy that our family has for offering. And then within that do, you know, like daily yoga classes. We have, my sister and I have like tiny tumblers, which is like kids yoga and gymnastics.
Oh.
And I teach restorative yoga and vinyasa flow and those kind of things, you know, mm-hmm. Like classes you're commonly see. But I just, like, getting to that point of creating the space and, like, making the decisions of how the space was going to look. Like, it took me 3 months to decide what kind of flooring I wanted. You know what I mean? Like, little things like that
yeah.
that you don't think about mm-hmm. when you work for somebody else.
Right.
And so it was like, you know, and then how's that floor going to look? Like, all these little things that just felt so kind of like raw within me to have to like make these choices. And I can easily do those for somebody else, mm-hmm. but it's something about making these choices like for myself and then showing people like, these are the choices I made. What do you think about them?
Mm-hmm. Do you think it was really about the floor or was it like, you know, something deeper than that?
Well, it was maybe both. I'm a very practical person. I'm super practical. So like everything I teach and everything I do, even these like more philosophy, like what's the word, like esoteric ideas within yoga, which there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
My specific way of teaching is like practicality.
Mm.
Like, how do you do this in your daily life? How can you make this every moment that you live? How do you bring that into your life?
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, this is something I do when I go to yoga class.
Yeah, definitely. Right? I love that.
And so the flooring within that, with everything, the practicality was like, we live in this country where there's monsoon season and there's hurricanes. And so mm-hmm. my thought is like, if I choose the wrong flooring and the window breaks, I could have to replace the whole floor.
Oh, yes.
So yeah, it was actually about the flooring, but within that, within that is like, well, the choice and the burden is on me, mm-hmm. right? So like if the window breaks, I don't call my boss and say, the window breaks, you need to replace the floor.
Yeah.
I have to,
yeah.
right? So that was the vulnerability. It was like,
yeah.
okay, the choices that you make will affect, you know, my financial stability, all these kind of things mm-hmm. moving forward.
Yeah.
So
could you share a little bit how you navigated through that process of, you know, standing behind your decision and kind of even more than that, not standing behind, but coming forward and standing like proud with your decisions and exposed, as you said, of who you really are and what you want to offer to the world? How did you navigate that?
Well, it's been a kind of like a bumpy last couple of months for sure. We opened our doors in November 2021. Are we in 2022?
Yeah, just like a few months ago.
Yeah, just a few months ago. Yeah. So we're only open for 4 months
wow.
so far. So it's very fresh new business in the midst of everything that's happening.
Wow.
So it was very, you know, it was sensitive feeling. I felt in the beginning, I was very excited, so much passion and joy to like finally have a space to offer things that I love. And we had a really good first month. So that was very inspiring to like keep my motivation coming, you know, like we had a lot of people in our community come forward and like come to the studio. We had a, like an opening gathering that was really beautiful. My mom did a tea ceremony and we did a little sound bath and beautiful. We just gave it as a gift to the community and it felt pretty good. Like we had like a nice little momentum and then Omicron hit like kind of right at the end of December with Christmas.
Right.
And so January was like, like I think we would have like one person come to class. Sometimes we'd have like no people come to class.
Wow.
Right? And so it was emotionally it was very like,
yeah.
Because it's hard, like in hindsight, it's easy to be like, oh well, like the pandemic and oh you're a new business and like all these things. But for me being such a senior teacher, like in this community, like at Yondara, to then go and offer, like have been teaching for 14 years and go and offer it to the public and kind of feel like people don't really like it or want to come, which I don't think is actually the truth. It was just the situation.
Yeah.
But within you, like in your belly, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you're like,
yeah.
You know, it's just that vulnerability, that self-doubt that we all have. Like, did I do something wrong? Like, did they not like something or other, right? And so I definitely, like, normally I'm a very confident person. I have a lot of confidence. I know who I am. You know, like, I have a family, a husband and a daughter and a career. It's just, like, everything's just easy within that. And so this, like, new kind of vulnerable thing felt scary.
Yeah.
And it felt, you know, I was very emotional and like kind of, this sounds sad, but like a little bit upset with close kind of like people in the community that I was like, felt like they weren't supporting, you know? And it's just for various reasons. It's health and financial reasons and everybody has their thing. So January was definitely like a really emotional month for me. I'm also a Capricorn, and I remember astrologically my parents were telling me that there was like this really huge, I think there was like an eclipse or something. There was like a whole bunch of stuff happening in January. And now that it's March and I think back, I'm like, woo, that was, there's a lot going on in there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, if I think about January, there's been a lot happening.
Right? Yeah. We might have all had a really emotional January.
Wow. Yeah. Ooh. Was interesting January. Definitely interesting. But how did you deal with that? What do you use? What practices do you use? What kind of self-talk do you use to get yourself through that, to keep going, to keep showing up and keep offering yourself and your services and your energy to the world and the community?
Well, a lot of support from my husband. We had a lot of back and forth kind of like talking about things. Like, he's become a really consistent yogi, which has been amazing since we opened the studio. And so he's coming to classes regularly, which he's never really had the space for before. So it was little things like that that really actually made me be like, okay, well, like, I'm changing the life of one of the most important people for me, which is like my husband. And then like I had a few, like as it's gone, I've had like one or two consistent clients that have come, and then it's two or three, and then it's four or five, you know? And so in the moment, I kept just trying to think about like, okay, the small goals, right? Yeah. As opposed to like, and me and my husband kept saying like the long-term plan, you know, we think like the long game.
Yeah.
So it's like, for me, I kept thinking back, like, what was my intention with creating this space? Well, my intention was have a place for my family to offer these, like, larger gatherings, like the kirtan and the sound bath. Like, that's really why I created the space because I have a job here at Yandara that I really enjoy. I love my job here. And I do love teaching the public classes in town as well. And so it's just kind of like coming back to that and remembering. I had a friend come visit during kind of like a really emotional time with me opening the business. Mm-hmm. And she said, you're acting like you're in starving mode, but you're not. And uh-huh. So, and then I remember talking to my mom and she would talk about like feeling the breath. So like you're breathing in and you feel the abundance and the like plentifulness of that oxygen as it expands the lungs, you know, brings all that life force into the body. And so just like those simple things. Mm-hmm. So the last few months I've really focused on the abundance of my inhales.
Wow.
And just feeling all that is in within that. And instead of thinking about what is lacking. And so that was kind of a thing with like my mom and my friend and like my husband. And so little things like in the daily moment, I'd wake up in the night and I'd just have like this nervous ball in my stomach of like wondering if I made the right choice. Like, should I have just done an Airbnb like every other person in the world? Like, it's a little chunk of money down here. Yeah. So I know I made the right choice for myself and for my family. And it's just like in the moment, I'll take that deep breath in, feel the coolness of the air, feel the abundance within it, and just kind of like mm-hmm. remember the peace on the exhale, thinking about I'm here. You know, I'm very lucky because I own my land outright. I own the building outright. I have zero debt. So I don't have any rent. I don't have any debt. Mm-hmm. And so I have to think about it in context like that. There's a lot of people that open yoga studios and they live in some urban setting and they're paying for $3,000-$4,000 a month rent or 10.
Yeah.
Or 15. I don't even know. Yeah. You know? And that's a lot of pressure to have to make a business start quickly.
Yeah. And so we're looking at the good and what you have. What is the positive side of it instead of the what's not working? Because I think your situation can be very relatable because so many businesses, even if they were open before, when COVID happened, they kind of had to restart, right? Like everybody changed, the students changed their habits and their places and people moved, people came, you know? So I feel like a lot of people can relate to kind of having to start over during COVID while COVID is happening and all of that. So this practice of noticing the breath is really coming to this moment. And I love what you said, the abundance of the breath. So feeling the fullness of the moment, of what is available to me right now, not what is going to happen, not what happened in the past, but just what is happening right now.
Yeah.
Beautiful. We talked before this conversation and you mentioned that one of the sutras from Patanjali is something that you really connect with, Sthira and Sukha. And I would love for you to just kind of gently speak about that, maybe in this context, maybe not. How do you relate to that?
Yes, definitely.
And explain what it is.
Yes. So Sthira would be like effort or the desire to kind of like move forward, right? Like doing, right? Mm-hmm. And goals, activation, those kind of things. And sukha would be ease or, you know, just being, mm-hmm. less of like doing and more like being within the moment. And so we need both of those, right? We need to have this balance of like effort and ease is what I think of them as. Mm-hmm. And that's like probably like my life's what would be the thing I'm thinking of? Like my life's mantra or something?
Yeah.
It would be?
Your motto.
My motto. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's it. My motto, because I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I have a young child. My daughter's 8. And so she was about 2 years old when I got diagnosed. And most of the symptoms within MS are like fatigue. That I experience are severe fatigue. You can have some physical body pain. And so I discovered within like my body awareness as a yoga teacher, I'm very like these autoimmune disease that manifested in my body is a tool for me to find that balance of effort and ease. And it's really enhanced like my awareness within myself of how much effort I put out and how much ease that brings back into my body. Mm-hmm. And so like all the choices I make, I'm trying to find that. So it was interesting opening the new business. I'm like, wow, this is a lot of efforting.
Yeah.
But I'm finding those moments where it's very easy and it's kind of settling into its own pattern. Mm-hmm. But definitely kind of like balancing between making things happen, you know, being like the owner of a business and manifesting that and going forward. And then also not over pushing myself, not over stressing myself, you know, going to the classes that some of my teachers are offering that I absolutely love and mm-hmm. receiving,
yeah.
which other yoga teachers will know you don't get as much, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to think about that and like how my practice has actually been really inspired lately by having these different teachers that I go to at the studio. And so that would be like, I efforted and I put out all this intention to make something happen. And what I'm receiving back is like something really joyful and very inspiring within my own teaching practice.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful that you put it as in how much effort I'm putting in rather than how much ease am I getting from this effort. So a lot of times we put effort and all we get is stress and more effort that we need to put in, right? And worries. And you kind of reframed it as in the effort that we're putting in should bring us ease.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That's like very much, I'm a big person of boundaries. And if you come and do get training at Yandara, I will talk to you a lot about establishing boundaries within yourself.
What do you mean by that?
I mean like not overextending yourself. So let's say not making choices that will cause you to always have to be in a place of stress. Like for example, like let's say I want to open a yoga studio, but I don't have the financial means. Am I going to take out a $200,000 loan that then I have to pay for the rest of my life?
Sounds stressful.
Sounds very stressful. So like, don't put yourself in that situation. Yeah. Patience and wait until the universe presents a situation to you, which I highly believe in. This has happened to me my whole life. Mm-hmm. And my mom talks about being in the flow. And that's kind of like a cheesy thing that sometimes people say. But she says it in this really powerful way. Like she calls it like being in the river, the flow of water, finding the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
So if you're finding all this resistance, that's probably not the right path.
So true. So, so true. So true. I always find that in my life when I feel like there's resistance coming, it means that it's not right. But then I always say, does this mean I need to work harder? Does it mean that I need to, that I'm not putting enough effort? I need to be more creative. And whenever I try to explore that concept of do I need to work harder, it kind of is a feeling in the body, right? My body is contracting and it feels like I'm trying to push something that isn't meant to be happening. And then when I kind of change directions, like you said, finding the path of least resistance, I love that way that you said it, really brings about things that you couldn't even imagine to bring for yourself.
Yeah, it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, just simple little things, like small things. So I will just kind of, and somebody might think of this as like praying. I'm a very spiritual person. I was raised by a very spiritual woman, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't consider myself necessarily religious, mm-hmm. but I have a strong practical connection to what I feel physically. I feel this connection to the universe around me, within my cells mm-hmm. and within my breath. And when I teach, I'll feel this connection to the past teachers and to my mother and to the lineage of especially women that I came from. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel kind of, when you step into this role of least resistance, or this path of like the waterway path, which is what my mom calls it, the path of the water, it's trusting that the universe is going to provide you what you need. It might not happen in the exact moment or the way that your brain is thinking it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But if you can step back from that, this like urgency, like Amazon desire that our world has of like having everything in our moment in our hands.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not the way it is, people. You got to have patience. You got to have dedication. Yeah. And
24 hours delivery.
Yeah. You know, that doesn't happen in the real world. I mean, it does on Amazon, but
yeah.
So within your spiritual growth, within your just daily kind of like practical way of living, if you're trying to find more ease, right? Mm-hmm. More of that sukha. It's making choices that require less effort. Really?
Wow. I really, really resonate with that. But I also know that like that there could be resistance to what you just said, because it's considered like good to put in effort and resist and, you know, like try harder and work hard. And How do you explain that to?
I really like that.
The eyebrows. I know. Are like,
yes. So I follow this woman on Instagram. It's called the Nap Ministry, and she is an ordained minister, and she's based out of Chicago, I think. And it's all about protest in rest. So fighting against that grind culture of constant consumerism, constant doing, and more of that being in the moment, more of that sattvic lifestyle, which is, if you think like sattva is a balanced state of effort and ease, right? So rajas is that effort that is like doing. Tamas is that like sedentary, not doing. And sattva is the middle way, the balance between doing and resting. And I think that's what our culture needs to have more of. Right now, we're extremely, extremely in the opposite end. So in order to balance that out, we have to kind of protest in the other direction of doing way less. And I know there's going to be a lot of people that think that's different. I do not have a desire to own many things. I do not have a desire to have flashy clothing. And so for me, I don't need much to feel comfortable and safe and happy and clean within my lifestyle. And that might be different for somebody else, but for me, it doesn't require a lot of financial monetary to sustain that lifestyle that I live. So my choices, I have a lot of freedom to do things that I like and buy things that I like, because I'm not constantly buying and I'm not constantly doing. I choose the things that really bring joy and ease to me to do.
In long term.
In long term.
Yeah.
Right?
Long term game.
Long term game.
Yeah.
That's what me and my husband talk about, the long game.
Love that. So just being conscious of your time. Last question, because I could keep talking.
I know, we could just keep chatting, talking about the grind culture.
What are you curious about right now?
I've been so inspired by breath. That has been like kind of my most inspiring thing in the last few months. I think within the stress that I've felt from opening this new business, I've really tapped into pranayama, which is the breathing practice within yoga. And I just, it really, the practice of pranayama is so powerful to calming my nervous system, or energizing my mind, or balancing me out. It's very practical, physical, hands-on technique that you can do anywhere that you are in any moment. You don't need anything with you, and you don't need anyone with you. And so it has been such a powerful tool for me during these last like kind of few stressful months, like since I was building my business. So it's kind of been like almost about a year since I like started breaking ground, creating the business. And that's been a really stressful thing. And so the pranayama, I've noticed in the last few months, I've been so inspired by it and like really bringing it into my classes like tenfold and just talking about it. And yeah, so I'm definitely hoping to have like some breath workshops pretty soon at my studio. And Yandara has the breath and meditation training that's happening lately. Yeah. And I've been wanting to just like do it so I can sit around and breathe and meditate for a while. Yeah. Like, can I do that? I'm like, that'd be awesome. 9 days of just hanging out, breathing and meditating.
Yeah, it was just finished a few days ago. Yes. And they were floating.
Yeah, I know.
For sure. Beautiful. I love to come to one of those breathing exercises or breathing.
I know.
Whatever you called it.
Workshops,
yes. Mm-hmm. At your studio.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much, Amber. So I would just like to say, if you want to get in touch with Amber, she's here at Yandara teaching teacher trainings. She has her studio, Ladicha, here in Baja. And she would like to share her email as well, bajacsg@gmail.com. So if you have any questions, feel free to contact her. Thank you so much, Amber.
Thank you, Yael.
Now, after this time to nurture your mind and your spirit, we invite you to take a moment to consider others. A kind wish might come to mind. Know that what we learn becomes more valuable when we apply it and share it with others. So share this episode on Instagram stories, tag Yandara and I, or share with a loved one so that more people can benefit from it. Our hope is that the search will lead you home to who you already are, to what was always there. We'll be back next week with more inspiration, honest conversation, and insight into the energetic world around us. Thank you for listening and watching.